Midweek Theatre. We present Marie Ney and Barbara Cooper in The Weather for Murder by Philip Levine.
Oh, Miss Pierce.
Just coming, Mr. Rayton. Won't be a moment. Thank you so much. Yes, Mr. Rayton. Something else you'd like?
Just my bill, please. Time I was back in the shop.
Busy, are you?
I have a pile of prescriptions that high.
In July? Wouldn't have thought you'd be overworked this time of year.
Warm weather brings its quota of complaints, too. You'd be surprised.
Let's see, it was a coffee and,
A toasted bun. I promised myself I'd lay off the starch, but whenever I come in here, my resolutions fly out of the window. Still, this little place is like an oasis in the desert. I don't know what we'd do without you, Frosty.
That'll be tenpence.
Cheap at half the price. See you at tea.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Rayton.
I say, miss, what's happened to my order?
I didn't take it, did I?
No, it's the other lady, the short, thin one.
Oh, dear.
Waiting about 10 minutes now.
Oh, a coffee, was it?
No, a pot of tea and a round of toast.
Oh, I expect it's on its way. I'll go and hurry it up. Millie, have you seen my sister?
Wasn't she in the shop, Miss Sarah?
Well, if she was, I'd hardly come up to the kitchen, would I?
Oh, here. Isn't that her typing machine upstairs?
Very probably. Now, I want a pot of tea and a round of toast, and be quick about it.
Right, Mum.
Elsie? 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 Oh, Elsie.
Oh, did you call, Sarah?
Did I call? I've been shouting myself silly for the past 2 minutes.
Really? I was concentrating.
What on earth are you doing?
I had a sudden inspiration, the most brilliant idea.
Oh, surely it would have kept till later. You know we're rushed off our feet between 10 and 11. It's bad enough for the two of us. I can hardly cope on my own.
This is the most ingenious idea, Sarah. A whodunit, and it's set in one of those laundrettes. You know, where people take their laundry.
Well, I'm afraid I can't stop and chatter now.
Yes, but Sarah...
Later, dear, later. Now leave that and come along down.
Oh, good morning, Sergeant Foster.
Ah, hello, Miss Elsie.
Very pleasant out this morning, isn't it?
Ah, not that it makes much difference to me. Stuck away in a miserable office. Wish I was back on the beat sometimes.
Oh, but it's much more fun investigating, isn't it?
The only investigating I've done this week is to check on one dented mudguard and 2 lost cats.
Oh, you know, I was hoping you'd drop in this morning. There was something I wanted to ask you.
Ah, picking my brains again, eh? What are you scribbling this time?
Scribbling? I'm busily writing, if that's what you mean.
Another thriller?
I suppose you'd call it that.
I'd have thought romantic novels would have been more in your line.
Oh, I don't know. Some of our most successful thriller writers are women. Agatha Christie, Dorothy Sayers...
Is that how you see yourself, eh? Another Agatha Christie?
Oh, it's a trifle ambitious, I agree. But even she had to start somewhere.
All right. What is it this time?
Well, I've set my story in a laundrette, and I wondered, would heat destroy a fingerprint?
Direct heat, certainly.
Oh.
Though mild heat might preserve it.
Yes.
Oh, but if there's any moisture about, or steam or anything like that, they disappear.
Oh, would they?
Afraid so.
Oh, what a pity. That's ruined everything. I shan't be able to use that after all.
Oh, sorry about that. But you know what I could use right now? A nice, strong cup of tea. Think you might oblige?
Oh, certainly, Sergeant. I'll bring it directly.
Oh, Millie, is the roast in the oven?
Yes, ma'am.
It's cream of celery today. You haven't forgotten?
Oh, no, Miss Sarah. Cream of celery, roast or curry, date pudding and cheese to follow.
That's right. Oh, how are we off for curry powder? Oh,
enough for today, but you'll need to order some more.
Are you off shopping, Sarah?
Just going. But I'll be back for the first of the lunches. Oh, have you typed up the menus?
Yes, I've got them here.
Fine, put them round the tables. It reminds me, I must see if Mallard's have got that sample in yet.
What sample is that?
The plastic tablecloth.
Oh, surely not, Sarah.
And what's the objection?
I simply loathe plastic.
Oh, well, that's no argument. They're highly practical.
Oh, I dare say, but must everything be practical? Oh, Sarah, customers prefer good old-fashioned cloths, linen. They're more homely.
Well, that may be, but very impractical. Do you know what our laundry bill is each week? It runs into pounds.
Well, then, let's put up our prices. Well,
they're quite high enough already. Elsie... You may not realize it, but we barely make ends meet.
Well, why don't we put in a few more tables?
Oh, my dear, if we put in another table or chair, there wouldn't be room to move.
But didn't you say something about enlarging the place?
Yes, I intend to, if I can acquire that small plot next door.
Oh, yes, the one that belongs to Mr. Everett.
Mm-hmm.
Have you spoken to him yet?
No, but I shall at the first opportunity.
He usually comes in about 11, though he hasn't been in this morning.
Well, if he does, for heaven's sake, don't you say anything. It needs a tactful approach.
Yeah.
And let's face it, you've no head for business. So I think you'll agree it's best left to me.
Oh, yes, indeed, Sarah. I'd be quite hopeless.
Good. Well, you set out those menus. You've put on the correct date, haven't you?
Yes, the 16th of July.
Fine. Then when you've done that, I should have your coffee. Oh, don't leave the shop, will you?
Oh, no, sir.
I'll see you shortly.
Oh, I'm sorry, hi, Mrs. Clark.
Good morning, Mrs. Clark.
Good morning, Miss Elsie. Oh, I forgot the donuts when I was in earlier. They haven't all gone, have they?
Oh, no, no. There's half a dozen left.
Well, I take them then. Oh, nice. Been such a morning in the post office. I ran out of 7 or 8 insurance stamps.
Good morning, Elsie.
Oh, hello, Mr. Everett. If you'll find yourself a table, I shan't keep you long.
Thank you. There's no hurry.
That'll be 1 and 6 pence.
Oh, yes. Clark. That's it, then. Well, thank you so much. Morning, Miss Everett.
Good morning, Mrs. Clark.
The usual, Mr. Everett.
Please. Well, I seem to have missed the rush.
Yes, we were frightfully busy earlier on. I was just about to have my coffee, too.
Oh, well, join me if you like.
Oh, may I? Oh, anything with your coffee?
Just a plain bun, I think.
Right. I shan't be a jiffy. Yours is, half and half, if I remember rightly.
Yes. No milk for you?
No, I prefer mine black. They say black coffee keeps the mind alert and clear. And that's very essential if one's doing creative work, don't you think?
Oh, very. How's the writing coming along?
Oh, not too badly, but it's so difficult finding new ideas. Oh, excuse me, just a moment. There's the postman.
It's for you, Miss Pierce.
Oh, is it?
One parcel, but no need to sign.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Oh, dear.
Another rejection. Well, never mind. There are a great many other publishers.
No, I'm afraid there aren't. I've exhausted them all. Oh, well, into the waste paper basket, I suppose.
Tell me, what was it about?
Oh, I'd hate to bore
you. But you'll never bore me, Elsie. On the contrary. Now then, come along.
Oh, well, it was about a private detective in Soho.
Do you know any private detectives?
No, I don't.
Have you ever been to Soho?
No, but I've seen pictures and read books.
Oh, well, that's the trouble, you see. Surely it's best to write from your own experience.
Possibly. But I could hardly write about Frockstein, could I?
Oh, why not? You know Frockstein.
Oh, it's so dull and boring, and this tea shop wouldn't make a very exciting background for a thriller.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. At least you'd know the people. A murder isn't limited to any particular background or class.
Mm-hmm.
I bet there isn't a person anywhere who hasn't thought of murdering someone at some time.
Oh, not you, surely, Mr. Everett.
Oh, you'd be surprised. And whilst I remember, I wish you'd call me Victor.
Oh, well, as long as Mrs. Everett won't object.
Oh, why should she? Now, if you'll take my advice, Elsie, you'll start your next novel nearer home.
I'll try. I must say I'm getting a little tired of rejection slips. Oh, I meant to ask you before, what happened to your dog?
My dog?
Yes, Dandy. Wasn't that his name? Such a lovely Labrador with the best coat I've ever seen.
I'm afraid I had to get rid of him.
Oh, not destroyed.
No, I had to find him a new home.
Oh, however could you part with
him? Well, it wasn't through choice. Nora, Mrs. Everett, felt there wasn't room for him in the cottage.
Oh.
We've one or two fine pieces and, well, he was rather a large dog.
Oh, what a pity.
Yes, well, one has to give and take in marriage.
I suppose so. And anyway, you've still got your dahlias.
Well, no, I haven't actually.
Oh, haven't you? But I thought you had a wonderful collection.
I did. But Nora doesn't care for dahlias. She says they attract blackfly. So we've switched to a herbaceous border.
Oh, sad.
No, not really. I must say those blackfly were a bit of a nuisance.
But in spite of them, I heard that one year you took almost every prize at the county show.
Oh, that's quite right, I did. Before you and your sister came here, before I remarried, several summers ago. Odd, when I think back now. Just Dandy and I. My dahlias, black fly and all.
Your wife's from London, isn't she?
Yes, though we first met on a cruise. It's funny how that happened. My first holiday in years. She was a science teacher, you know. You wouldn't think it to look at her, but she's terribly bright. Good brain. Used to teach in the secondary modern. Well, we seem to get thrown together on the cruise.
Mm-hmm.
We were never out of each other's company.
Oh.
And when I got back, I found I missed her. I wrote, and then out of the blue, she turned up here. And, well, that was that. Not terribly romantic, is it? Oh. Won't give you much copy, I'm afraid.
Well, didn't your wife find it very quiet here in Froxton?
Well, at first, Nora was all for moving back to town. Then suddenly she changed her mind. I think it was the cottage.
And I'm not surprised at that. It's adorable. Though I only know it from the outside, and I love that beautiful bay window.
Yes, that's the lounge.
Oh, is it? It looks rather like an inn with that, what do you call it, bubble glass?
Bullion glass. Yes, genuine, too. Not this mass-produced stuff.
Yes.
It's a bit warm in the summer, but I must say I find it delightful. The only thing is, one has to be careful with the furniture or the sun can blister the varnish.
I can't imagine a lovelier cottage for retirement, Mr. Everett.
Victor.
Oh, yes.
I'm not completely retired, you know. Not by a long chalk. I'm still on the boards of several companies.
Are you?
Yes, Harmsworth. Mutual Investments, not forgetting McCowan's.
What, the big London store?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I'll be driving up to a board meeting tomorrow. And you wouldn't be going up to town, would you?
Me?
Well, I thought perhaps I could give you a lift and we might have a bite of lunch together.
Oh, thank you. Oh, but I really go up to town.
Oh, well, some other time.
Yes.
Ah, here's your sister. Well, time I was off. I'll take my bill, if I may.
Good morning, Mr. Everett.
Hello.
I'm glad I've caught you. I wondered if I might have a word with you.
Well, certainly.
Here, Elsie, give these groceries to Millie, would you?
Oh, yes, Sarah, yes.
Well, now, Mr. Everett, I hope I'm not holding you up.
No, of course not. Well, what can I do for you?
To come straight to the point, it's about that small vacant plot next door. I understand from my solicitors that it belongs to you.
Yes, I bought it some years ago. It was part of the old Lingfield estate.
Well, my sister and I were thinking of enlarging the shop. We're rather cramped here, as you can see.
Well, if you're thinking of making an offer, don't make it to me.
I'm sorry.
I made over a few properties to my wife at the time of our marriage, and I have a feeling that's among them.
Oh, I see.
Well, there's no harm in your having a word with her. I'll tell you what, I'll mention it to her when I get back and ask her to telephone you.
Would you? I'd be most grateful.
But knowing my wife, I better warn you. She'll drive a hard bargain.
Oh, Millie?
Yes, Miss Sarah?
Are the new gâteau iced?
Yes, I'm just going to put the walnuts on.
Oh, answer that, Elsie, would you?
Oh, yes, Sarah.
Millie, you did check that delivery yesterday.
Twice.
Well, then where's the curry powder?
In the cupboard.
Oh, I've told you a dozen times, Millie. Spices go on the shelf by the stove.
Oh.
Elsie, that wasn't Mrs. Everett by any chance?
No, Sarah. It was Mrs. Clark from the post office. She asked me to put aside a jam sponge.
Oh, I should think Mr. Everett forgot to speak to her.
Oh, Sarah, if he promised, then I'm sure he will. He's a frightfully nice man. Such perfect manners.
But easily led. Fancy handing property to his wife just like that.
No, that shows how considerate he is. I admire him for it. I think Mrs. Everett's a very fortunate woman.
Well, you're not the only one. From what I hear, there were quite a few broken hearts in Froxton when the banns went up. Isn't that right, Millie?
Oh, yes, ma'am. There were dozens who had their eye on him. Well, a cottage and a car and pots of money. Oh, I wouldn't have said no to him myself. Still, he hasn't done bad for himself, has he? I mean, she's very smart and not at all bad-looking. Got pots herself, I expect.
Oh, a shop, Elsie.
Oh, right, Sarah.
Oh, that smells like the scones.
Oh, ma'am.
Yeah, Millie, take the cloth or you'll burn your fingers.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Everett.
Good morning. I'll take a wholemeal loaf and a small gâteau.
Certainly.
Is that all you've got? Chocolate. The one I had the other day was rather sickly. Haven't you anything else?
Oh, we've a new line. Walnut cream. I'm sure you'd like that.
May I see one?
Oh, Millie's just topping them with walnuts.
Well, I've got a lot to do this morning. How long will they be?
Oh, 5 minutes, no more.
Oh, well, if I've got to hang about, I'll stop for a coffee.
Oh, yes, do. I shan't keep you waiting long. Sarah, Mrs. Everett's just come in. She's staying for coffee.
Really?
Yes, but would you believe it, Sarah? She said our chocolate gâteau was sickly.
Oh, what nonsense. We've never had any complaints before.
I know. I almost gave her a piece of my mind.
I hope you didn't.
Oh, no, of course not.
I persuaded her to try one of the walnut creams. Are the walnut creams ready yet, Millie?
Almost. I'll be through in a jiffy.
Well, then, I'd better take in her coffee meantime.
No. I'll serve her. It'll be a good opportunity to talk to her about next door.
Oh, yes, Sarah.
Black or white, Mrs. Everett?
Just a dash.
That's fine.
Oh, there's no sugar bowl. Just a moment.
Don't bother. I take saccharin.
Of course. I should have remembered by now. Anything else for you?
No, not just now. I'm glad you brought the coffee in, Miss Pierce. It saves me telephoning. My husband mentioned you'd been inquiring about the plot next door.
Oh, yes. As he may have told you, we're anxious to enlarge our premises.
Business is flourishing, is it?
Not exactly, but... Well, as you can see, we're rather limited for space. In our busy times, it becomes rather chaotic.
I see. Well, what sort of figure had you in mind?
I'm not very sure. Judging from what we gave for these premises, I suppose the land must be worth about 300.
Oh, 300? Oh, Miss Pierce, you're way behind the times.
Oh?
In the past year, prices have simply soared.
Have they?
Well, don't you read your newspapers? Building land's at a premium. Yours isn't the first inquiry I've had. Oh, no, I'm afraid I couldn't let that plot go under 1,200.
1,200? But that's exorbitant.
Well, I don't think there's much point in our discussing the matter further, do you? So if my gatto is ready, I'll settle the bill and then I must fly. I have a very busy day ahead of me.
Oh, the heat. Elsie, if you're on your way to the kitchen, put on the other fan, will you? It's terribly close.
I intended to, Sarah. Oh, put on the other fan, Millie.
All right, Mum.
Two pots of tea, one china, and an egg on toast.
Oh, toast, yeah. Whew, wasn't it too warm? I'm sweltering.
Well, we've got both fans on now. I should open the window fully.
Must be the hottest day we've had this summer.
Have you got that ham sandwich for Sergeant Foster?
Yes, here it is. With mustard. Oh, and that round of cinnamon toast.
Oh, thank you, Millie. Your sandwich with mustard, Sergeant.
Ah, thanks, Miss Elsie.
I expect that uniform's a trifle warm this weather.
Oh, you can say that again. Still, I suppose I should be thankful I ain't on traffic duty. I wouldn't fancy that with the thermometer touching 80.
Is it as high as that?
Yes, a sudden high ridge sweeping in from the Azores.
Oh, is that what it is?
That your telephone?
Yes.
Answer that, would you, Millie?
Yes, ma'am.
It's all right. Millie's taken it.
Oh, you know what I can do with an issue of tropical kit.
Oh, I'm sure you'll feel refreshed once you've had your tea. Sergeant, I meant to tell you. I've given up writing stories about private detectives. Mm-hmm. I'm going to concentrate on something nearer home, from my own experience.
Mm, well, that should be interesting.
Sergeant Foster!
Yes, what is it, Millie?
The phone just now.
No, just take it easy and catch your breath.
But that was your constable. He's had an urgent call. The Everett's cottage is on fire.
What?
Oh, no.
He's sent for the brigade, but there's a terrible blaze.
Quick, let's have me helmet. Oh,
but I think there's little we can do, Sergeant. It's like a raging furnace in there. Just burn itself out.
Are you sure there's no one inside?
Well, my men couldn't get within 10 yards of the place. We can only pray and hope.
How do you think it started?
Your guess is as good as mine. That old timber construction's a menace. Once it's alight, there's no holding it.
Some blaze.
Ah, we're lucky it's isolated. At least there's no damage to surrounding property.
You'll have to watch that garden, Seth.
Oh, not to worry. My men have got their eye on that. Oh, I see we got ourselves an audience.
Yes, half the village turned over looking at it.
Oh, I wish they'd keep their distance. We're getting a bit close to that fence.
You leave them to me, I'll handle them. All right, now, folks. Now, keep well back of that fence. Come along, back now, please. Come along, back.
Oh, Sergeant, what a pity about that lovely cottage.
Why, Miss Elsie, what are you doing down here?
I never could resist a fire.
Well, I must say, you won't see an almond like this in a hurry. That roof will be in any minute.
Is Mrs. Everett safe?
We're keeping our fingers crossed.
She was in the shop this morning.
Was she? What about her husband?
He's gone up to London for a board meeting. He mentioned something yesterday.
Now, where was this meeting, did he say?
Yes, he's the director of McCowan's.
Oh, that's helpful. I'll try and get him on the floor right away. Now, do keep away from that fence, please!
And so finely, gentlemen. I have no hesitation in saying that we can look forward to a highly profitable and satisfactory year.
Oh, Mr. Everett.
Yes, Miss Brown?
There's a telephone call for you.
Well, I can't be disturbed now.
It's the police sergeant from Proxteen. He says it's extremely urgent.
Oh? All right. I'll take it. Where is it?
Next door in the outer office.
Would you excuse me a moment, Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Yes, of course, Everett.
Hello? Oh, I shan't keep you a moment, Sergeant. He's just coming. Oh, here you are, sir.
Thank you. Hello? Yes, speaking. Please come to the point. I'm in the middle of a board meeting. What? When did this happen? I see. But is my wife all right? Well, if she returns before I get there, tell her I'm on my way back. Yes. Yes, I should be there by 6. If it's good of you to call, Sergeant. Thank you. Miss Brown.
Yes, sir?
Get me a brandy, would you?
Certainly, sir. The usual, with soda.
No, make it a double. A neat.
Honestly, Elsie, I don't understand people at all. They only have to hear the word fire and they start behaving like a bunch of school children.
It's just natural curiosity.
Well, I can't see anything natural about it. It's morbid, if you ask me. I've never seen such a stampede. You, Millie? But the place emptied itself so quickly, you'd have thought the tea shop was on fire.
Well, you should have come too, Sarah. It was still burning when I left. Oh, poor Mr. Everett. He will be upset.
Well, I hope he had the good sense to be insured.
But that'll hardly compensate for the loss of such a charming cottage. And all the inconvenience, Sarah. I mean, where will the Everetts live?
Well, they'll have to find a hotel.
And to think of all their beautiful antique furniture.
It'll be replaced if it's insured.
Oh, but it's not the same.
Be practical. One chair's the same as another.
But they've lost everything. Except the garden shed.
It's about time Millie was back. I'll have something to say to her, gallivanting off without so much as a by your leave.
Oh, if she is now.
And about time.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but the most terrible thing's happened.
Oh?
The fireman found a body in the cottage.
Oh, no.
Dear. It's Mrs. Everett, there's no doubt.
Oh,
to think she was only in here this morning.
Now, use your handkerchief, Millie, for goodness sake. Are they certain it was Mrs. Everett?
Yes, I heard the fireman say.
Oh, how dreadful.
Oh, it was terrible, ma'am. They had a police car there, and she was all covered in a sheet.
Oh, dear, how awful. All right, Millie. Shocker, ma'am. Now, just pull yourself together. Get the tea things washed up, and then you can go off.
Right, ma'am.
Oh, poor Mr. Everett.
Oh, yes. Poor man. But people get over these things like everything else.
Still, we could offer to help.
Help? In what way?
Well, Sarah, it's an awful thought that the poor man will have to stay alone in some ghastly hotel room. Couldn't we offer to put him up for a day or two?
Well, I suppose we could.
Oh, we've a spare room, Sarah, and he wouldn't be much bother. He could eat down here. Oh, surely it's the least we could do.
I'm sorry to have brought you down here, sir, but it was necessary for identification purposes.
I understand, Sergeant.
Oh, there's a deed box in my office. I'm afraid that's all that was salvaged.
Thank you. Well, I suppose I'd better look round for a room of some sort.
No need to worry, sir. Miss Pierce and the tea room said they'd be happy to put you up.
Really? Well, I don't know whether I could bother them.
Oh, they'd be only too pleased. They'd be much more comfortable there in the hotel. And we shall need you for the inquest.
Now, Doctor, you examined the remains of the deceased?
Yes.
Would you state your opinion as to the cause of death?
Shock, following multiple burns to the chest and abdomen. I should perhaps add it was not possible to conduct a normal postmortem beyond a routine examination of the throat and lungs.
Due to the extensive burns?
Yes, though after reading the fire officer's report and noting the position in which the deceased was found, I'm of the opinion that Mrs. Everett was asleep in a chair when the flames enveloped her.
Thank you, Doctor. Call on Victor Everett.
Victor Everett.
I swear by Almighty God to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God.
Do take a seat, Mr. Everett.
Thank you.
You are Victor Everett, formerly of Hillside Cottage, Meadows Lane, Froxteen.
Yes.
On what occasion did you last see your wife?
On the morning of the 17th of July, at about 10:30. I was due at a board meeting in London that afternoon, but I thought I'd go up a little earlier. My wife had some shopping to do, and we left the house together, as I say, around 10:30.
And later that day, at approximately 6:15 p.m., you identified the body of a woman at the Froxteen police station as that of your wife?
Yes.
Now, Mr. Everett, although we shall be calling an expert witness in a few moments, have you any comments to make at this stage as to the cause of the fire?
No, I'm afraid I haven't. We didn't have gas in the house. My wife preferred electricity. And the entire cottage was rewired by the board about 18 months ago, shortly after my wife and I were married.
Was your wife in the habit of smoking?
No.
Were there any inflammable materials stored in the house?
None at all, as far as I know. I've a bottle of Sinners and some methylated spirits, but they're kept in the garden shed, well away from the house.
So you can offer no explanation as to the cause of the fire?
I'm afraid I can't.
Well, thank you, Mr. Everett. You may step down. Call Mr. R.A. Jenkins, County Fire Officer.
Mr. R.A. Jenkins, County Fire Officer.
I swear by Almighty God to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God.
You are Ronald Arthur Jenkins, fire officer of this county.
Yes, sir.
And on the afternoon of the 17th of July, you examined the debris and what remained of the residence known as Hillside Cottage, Meadows Lane, Froxteen.
I did.
And did you reach any conclusion concerning the origin of this fire?
I did, sir.
Will you state these conclusions to the court?
Certainly, sir. I have had extensive experience in locating what is known as the seat of the fire. That is its point of origin. And I am of the opinion that the fire commenced in the region of the lounge window.
How exactly?
Well, the afternoon of the 17th was extremely hot. Temperatures were in the 80s. The lounge window contained bullion glass. Now, due to several factors, the angle of the sun, the bubble in the glass, the sun's rays were concentrated onto the curtain, rather like a child playing with a magnifying glass. I should say the temperature reached might have been in the neighborhood of 200 to 230 degrees centigrade, sufficient to ignite a curtain made of cotton or similar fiber.
Were they of cotton?
I can't say. They were completely destroyed in the fire, though the residue suggested they might have been.
Thank you, Mr. Jenkins. You've been most helpful. In the case of Venora Everett, aged 42, who died in the fire at Hillside Cottage, Froxteen, we've heard the evidence of her husband, also the police pathologist, and the county fire officer. And from their evidence, it appears that this fire was the accidental outcome of the combination of a number of elements.
Come in.
Oh, I hope I'm not disturbing you, Mr. Everett.
Of course not.
I brought you a few flowers from the garden. Help cheer up the room.
I saw you cutting them, but I didn't realize they were for me. Yes. Dahlias, too. Oh, thank you.
Are you quite comfortable?
Oh, very. I really can't thank you and your sister enough. You've been so very kind.
Oh, not at all.
Though I don't think I should stay here much longer. I've been here over a week.
Oh, you're not any trouble. And it's quite a change having a man about the house.
Well, I'm negotiating for another cottage, but these things do take a little time.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you're welcome to stay till everything's settled.
Thank you. How's the writing coming along?
Oh, well, I've been thinking about what you said. Finding a subject nearer home.
Yes.
And to tell you the truth, I did get an idea, but... Well, on reflection, I thought it might be in bad taste.
Ah, now, that immediately makes my ears prick up. Tell me more.
Must I?
Come now. It surely can't be as bad as all that.
You might change your mind if I tell you.
Well, you try me.
Well, if you must know, it came to me during the inquest.
The inquest?
On your wife.
Please, do go on.
Well, I don't know how to say it, but I thought it might be an idea to start my story with a fire in the village.
Well, it's been done rather often.
Yes, I suppose it has. I haven't really worked it out in detail. I thought I'd talk it over with Sergeant Foster when he drops in for tea. And unless, of course, you feel or you object.
Well, why on earth should I? No, do go ahead. Though, personally, I should have looked for something a little more original.
Have you seen the Gazette, Sergeant Foster?
Myself?
There's a picture of you and Mr. Everett leaving the coroner's court.
Oh, is there? Oh, those reporters, they just can't leave well alone, can they?
Mr. Everett's turned away slightly, but it's a very good likeness of you.
Well, let's see. Good grief, that's an insult, whoever that was, but take it away. Oh, by the way, I noticed you at the inquest, Miss Elsie, scribbling away in your notebook.
Did you? Yes. You see, finding myself in a coroner's court amidst tragedy, as you might say, I had a sudden inspiration.
Oh, not for another thriller.
Why, yes. Surely it's best to write from your own experience.
Now, you watch your step. That sort of thing can upset people, you know, and you could find yourself with a libel suit.
Oh, no, my village would be entirely fictitious, Sergeant. I was going to call it Medborough or something far removed. I shouldn't think of causing anyone offence.
Well, who's your choice for a victim?
Well, I had in mind an attractive middle-aged woman.
I say. That's pushing coincidence a bit too far, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, I see what you mean. Oh, well, she could be young, I suppose. It doesn't really matter.
What about method? Given that any thought?
Well, to be honest, the thing that sparked me off, forgive the pun, was the idea of the bullion glass. But instead of it being an accident, in my book, the fire's caused deliberately.
Sounds a bit far-fetched to me.
As I dare say it is. Oh, but I was hoping you'd be some help, not put a damper on it.
Well, you must be realistic, Miss Elsie. Now, sit down a minute.
Oh, yes.
Now, perfect murder requires, among yes. other things, perfect timing.
Yes,
and no murderer would ever leave things to chance. What happened at Hillside Cottage depended on quite a few things outside anyone's control. Now, for one thing, the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mrs. Everett being alone and dropping off like that. And as the fire expert said, the choice of curtains.
Yes, you have a point there.
Mind you, I suppose there is such a thing as dramatic license. I suppose your murderer could have kept his eye on the weather reports. We're just waiting for a scorcher. But with our climate, he might have had to wait half a lifetime. Well, then to make sure the victim did drop off, you could always slip her a couple of sleeping tablets.
Yes, Sergeant, yes, but wouldn't that show at the autopsy?
Depend on what's left of the victim. In the case of fire, it's unlikely. Then regarding the curtains, I suppose one could persuade the victim to buy cotton. Well, that's stretching imagination a bit, don't you think?
Yes, doesn't sound very convincing. And anyway, even if the murderer did go to all that trouble, how on earth would I catch him out?
The husband, do you mean?
Yes, how would I solve it?
Well, that's your little problem, isn't it? I'm no writer. Although, for what it's worth, in my experience, criminals invariably have to lie somewhere along the way. And the trouble with lawyers is they have such bad memories. Sooner or later, they'll drop a clanger. So when you settle down at your typewriter, I'd bear that in mind if I was you.
Yes.
Oh, forgive me, Elsie. I didn't realize you were in here.
Oh, do come in.
Yeah, thank you.
The pot's still warm. Would you like a cup?
Oh, thanks. No, don't you get up. I'll see to it. Would you like a second one?
Oh,
it'd give me pleasure to serve you for a change.
Thank you. Sarah's at a club committee meeting.
Or another?
She can't sit still for a moment. Always doing something. Been like that all her life, even as a child.
It must get rather lonely for you.
Oh, I'm used to it.
I'm afraid that's one thing I've never got used to. Loneliness. I'm a person who needs companionship. Here you are.
Thank you. You must miss her dreadfully.
Hmm? Who?
Your wife.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was tactless of me.
Oh, not at all. One can't grieve forever, can one? There's no point in moping. There comes a time when one must face reality.
Oh, I imagined you were something of a sentimentalist.
Now, Elsie. I know you will hate the cliché, but never judge a book by its cover. Throughout my professional life, I've learned to adapt myself to the situation. It's the only way.
I'm different. I've never been willing to accept second best. That's probably why I've remained an old spinster.
Not old.
Oh, come now. As you said, one must face reality.
Perhaps. But it still puzzles me why somebody hasn't snapped you up long ago.
Oh, forgive me. Would you like a piece of cake? It's chocolate.
Yes, I think I will. No, not too large a slice.
It's our own, you know.
Yes, I've had your gâteau on several occasions. They're excellent. But the one I'm really partial to is that new one of yours. What do you call it? Walnut cream.
Yes, that's one of Sarah's creations. Walnut cream, did you say?
Yes. Even Nora was aghast when I asked for a second helping. Well, don't look so surprised. I've a very sweet tooth. I'm sure you must have noticed.
Yes, of course.
Well, what is it? Are you all right?
I'm sorry. I hope you won't think I'm being rude, but I have a slight headache. I think I'll have an early night.
Elsie? Oh, in bed already?
Yes, I was feeling rather tired.
Oh, well, then I won't disturb you.
No, don't go, Sarah.
Mm?
Did the meeting go well?
Very. The bazaar's to be held on the 25th. I've promised them one or two things.
Oh, I should give them a sponge or a gâteau.
Mm, I probably will.
That new one of yours, walnut cream, is very popular.
Yes, I'm feeling rather proud of that.
You know, I suddenly realized the very first one went to Mrs. Everett.
Oh, did it? Oh, yes, yes, you're right. I remember now. The day of the fire.
And if Mr. Everett drove to London at 10:20, he couldn't have had any of it.
Well, he's made up for it. He had several portions of tea yesterday.
Oh, did he? Yes, but what I mean was...
Now, you lie back and I'll straighten your pillow. There. If you're feeling tired, this is no time to chat.
Your tea cake, Mr. Rayton.
You'll be the ruin of me, Elsie. Here, you're looking a trifle pale this morning. Had a bad night?
I didn't sleep too well.
You ought to try a nightcap. Or maybe you need a tonic. Come across to the shop. I'll fix you up.
Oh, no. I don't think it's anything to worry about.
Well, whatever else you take, don't let me see you with a prescription for sleeping tablets. Although I sell them, I don't approve of them. It's a bad habit to get into.
No, I've never taken any.
Well, I shouldn't start. Confidentially, if you knew the number of people who take sleeping tablets, you'd have a fit. In this village, too.
Really?
Mrs. Turner from the manor.
No.
Bert Parker at the pub. Old Mrs. Denton. Mr. Everett. Charlie
Mr.
Miller.
Mr. Everett, did you say?
Yes, yes, I thought that would shake you. But I filled a prescription for him not a fortnight ago.
Millie, have you seen Mr. Everett?
Yes, he went out early.
Where to, did he say?
He's gone along to the cottage, I think.
What, Hillside Cottage?
I expect so. Fancy going back there. Gives me the creeps every time I walk by.
Look, Millie, I'm going out for a little while. If my sister wants me, tell her I'll be back within the hour.
Who's that? Oh, it's you, Elsie. Oh, you did startle me for a moment.
I'm sorry, Mr. Everett.
Oh, what are you doing out here?
Oh, just taking a stroll.
Hmm?
I noticed the shed door was slightly ajar and I thought someone had broken in.
No, it's been under lock and key since the fire. I came by for a few tools.
What have you got there?
Hmm?
In your hand.
Oh, this tin, you mean? Just some sodium chlorate. Your path could do with weeding. I thought I'd make myself useful. You don't mind my helping out in the garden?
No. I'm sure Sarah will be most grateful.
Yes, but what about you? I was hoping I'd save you a few back-breaking jobs.
Oh, well, thank you.
Elsie, I have a confession to make to you.
You... confession?
Yes. Trouble is, where to begin?
Is it about your wife?
I can see no one to keep things hidden from you. The truth is, we didn't get on very well. During the past 6 months, it became almost unbearable. It was as much as I could do to sit in the same room with her.
Oh,
I escaped whenever I could. You know, your little tea room was a haven to me. Oh, the fire was a shocking, dreadful thing to have happened, but if I'm to be honest, I'm not unhappy. Far from it.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I... Well, with everyone offering their condolences, it's been a great strain having to keep up this pretense. I needed to tell someone. Who better than you?
Oh. You were up rather early this morning, weren't you?
Always been an early riser.
Oh, didn't you sleep well?
On the contrary, never better.
Sarah came in rather late. I thought she may have disturbed you.
No, I'm a very heavy sleeper.
Have you always been like that?
Yes, since I can remember. I'm one of those people who drops off the moment their head touches the pillow.
You haven't by any chance seen Sergeant Foster, have you?
No. Hasn't he been in?
Not yet.
Oh, he's probably over at the county court. I think he'd be in later on. I can't see him missing the roast. Oh, by the way, Miss Elsie, is Mr. Everett still with you?
Yes.
You know, my husband and I offered to put him up, but you got in first. Oh, I don't doubt he's comfortable here. Not much trouble, neither, is he?
Oh, none at all.
No. It's an awful thing to have happened when you come to think of it. Such a nice man, so considerate to her, although she was a bit of a so-and-so.
Yes.
You know, I've never known a man worry about his wife's health and comfort as much as he did.
Really?
Yes. You know, she was very susceptible to rheumatism, as Mrs. Everett.
No.
Oh, well, nothing serious, but he'd never take any chances with her. Now, this will take a lot of believing, but do you know, he used to ring me up at the post office daily to put him through to London for the weather report. Never missed a day throughout the summer, just in case of rain. Now, wasn't that considerate?
Yes, very.
Oh, my gracious goodness, look at the time. I'll have a queue of customers at the counter, I'll bet. Oh, yes, Sergeant Foster, now.
Hello, Mrs. Clark.
Oh, I can't stop, just off the place, Sarge.
Is the roast still on, Miss Elsie?
Yes, yes, it is. I'm so glad.
Oh, well, a generous
coming.
Portion for an hungry copper. Then maybe we'll talk. Go on at the double, I'm famished.
Oh.
Have you finished, Sergeant?
Ah, thank you, Monsieur. Lovely bit of beef.
Glad you enjoyed it. Elsie's bringing the coffee.
Why, you seem to be your last customer. Oh, they ain't holding you up.
No, we won't start serving tea till about 3.
Your coffee, Sergeant.
Oh, thank you, Miss Elsie.
Oh, Elsie, while I remember. As it's half day tomorrow, I've promised to help with the bazaar. Will you be going out?
I don't think so. Why?
Well, that new mixer should be arriving. I'd like someone here to take delivery.
I'll be in,
Fine.
Sarah.
Then I can let Millie go off.
Well, Miss Elsie, you found a solution to your fire story yet?
Yes and no. You remember that lie you spoke about?
Uh-huh.
Well, I had an idea about that. In my story, the wife purchases a cake on the day of the fire, after the husband was supposed to have gone up to town. It was a new kind of cake, but the husband at some later date remarks on its flavour. Now, that would prove he was at the house at the time of the fire, wouldn't it?
Not bad. Well, it might be difficult to convince a jury.
But if one could prove he got a prescription for sleeping tablets, though he was a sound sleeper...
Mm-hmm. Possessing sleeping tablets doesn't mean he administered them.
But if one also had a witness to prove he made daily inquiries about the weather, on the pretense of his wife's rheumatism...
You still have to prove criminal intent. I mean, that merely sounds like the action of a considerate husband. Ah, you need something more definite than that. No, I don't want to encroach upon your territory.
Oh, no, please do.
And I think some of these ideas are jolly good, but you know where the weakness lies, don't you?
No.
Those curtains. You see, cottons vary so. I mean, and no matter how hot it was, you could never be certain they'd catch a light.
Unless one experimented.
Still a bit risky. Now, what's needed is some really inflammable material. Say, a piece of loose weave, cellulose net.
Loose weave net?
Well, after all, I mean, it's pretty commonplace. If it was hung in front of the other curtains, no one would give it a second glance. And it wouldn't leave any trace.
Yes, that's certainly an idea.
And then to be double sure, it'd need impregnating with something highly inflammable. But not petrol or anything like that.
No.
But something odourless. Now, let me see. An ideal thing would be sodium chlorate.
Sodium chlorate?
Yes, it's used in weed killers. Well, you can buy it neat without prescription. I bet there's a tin in almost every other garden shed.
Yes.
Oh, I can see I've given you something to think about, eh? So I think I'll take my leave now. Oh, just one other thing. What about motive?
Motive?
Well, one doesn't usually commit murder without rhyme or reason. Is the husband hard up?
No, I imagined him being quite well off.
Well, then, if it's not revenge or fear, that leaves you with the other woman.
The other woman?
Well, you know the sort of thing. The sympathetic friend in the background. Somebody he can escape to when the wife gets too much for him.
Would a man really commit murder for another woman?
Would he? You're joking, aren't you? Well, what better motive than the eternal triangle? Why, sometimes the other woman don't even know it's happening. The husband waits until the wife's dead and buried before he drops a hint.
Really?
Oh, I see. I made you blush. Oh, well, I haven't been too forward.
No, of course not, sir.
Well, it's time I was moving. Well, I hope the book goes well. But if it sells, I shall expect my 10%. Ah, afternoon, Miss Sarah.
Oh, good afternoon, Sergeant Foster. Oh, Elsie.
I'm just going out. I'm going to get my coat, sir. I'm going across to the draper's.
What for?
Well, the sun bothers me when I'm at the typewriter. I thought I'd get a few yards of net curtaining.
Net? Well, that's not terribly practical. Why don't you get some casement cloth?
No, no, Sarah. I'd rather have the net.
Afternoon, Miss Pierce. Something I can get you?
Yes, Mr. Potter. I want a few yards of loose weave cellulose net.
Nothing like knowing what you mean or what you want, is there?
Have you such a thing?
I'm afraid we don't carry a very large selection of net curtaining. Funnily enough, you're the second one who's asked for loose weave in the past month.
Oh? Well, forgive me for being curious, but I'd hate to have the same curtains as my next-door neighbour who asked for the net. Can you remember?
No, not offhand. My new girl, Connie, was serving. Connie?
Did you call Mr. Potter?
Here a minute.
Yes, Mr. Potter?
That inquiry you had for loose weave net, who asked for it?
Loose weave net?
I was in the stockroom at the time.
How long ago?
Oh, 3 or 4 weeks.
It was the first week I was here. I didn't know whether I was coming or going.
Well, I remember I told you to tell the customer to try a theatrical place, Harrington's of Retford. They usually stock loose weave.
Oh, yes, I remember that. But I can't remember the customer.
Oh, never mind. What was the place you mentioned, Harrington's?
That's about the nearest bar going up to London.
Sarah.
You didn't have any luck, I see.
No, I shall be going into Retford tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow? But you were going to take delivery of the mixer.
Oh, was I? Oh, dear. And I've already bought my ticket.
Oh, well, you might have told me. I've already given Millie the afternoon off.
Perhaps she'll stay if you ask her.
Oh, really, Elsie? You are the limit.
Yes, ma'am. I hope you will.
I wonder if you can.
Harrington's are renowned for their selection, madam. What are you doing? Gilbert and Sullivan? Or would it be a play?
I beg your pardon?
What costumes are you looking for?
Oh, no. No, it's material I want.
Ah, over here, madam. Taffeta, rayon, damask, nylon, silk, satin. We carry over 5,000 lines.
5,000? Well, no, actually, all I require is some net.
Net? Mm. What kind of net?
Loose weave. Do you stock such things?
Of course, madam. This is what you had in mind, madam?
Well, I'm not terribly sure. You see, I believe a friend of mine bought some here, and I'd rather like to get the same. It looks so very nice in their window.
I'm sure. When did they purchase it?
Oh, within the last month or so, I think. But I don't suppose you can remember all your customers.
On the contrary, madam, we have records of every transaction. Of course, most of our customers are trade or professional. But I suppose I could look among the retail receipts.
Oh, would you? That would be most kind of you.
One moment, I'll just get the receipt book. Here we are. And what was the name?
My name.
No, madam, not your name, your friend.
Oh, I see, yes. Everett.
Everett. Ah, yes.
You'll find it.
I believe so. I haven't the original letter, but as you can see, the receipt is addressed to V. Everett.
V?
Yes. Is that your friend?
What? Oh, yes. Well, on second thoughts, I don't think this is quite right for me. I'll leave it if you don't mind.
As you wish, madam.
Good afternoon, Miss Pierce. Looking for Sergeant Foster?
Oh, yes. Yes, Constable, I was. Is he about?
Oh, you just missed him. But he should be back shortly. Can I take a message?
No, but I would like a word with him as soon as possible. Perhaps you'd tell him I called.
Oh, certainly. I'll put a note on his desk right away.
Oh, Millie, it's you.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, dear, I do wish you wouldn't creep about like that. What are you doing up here?
The laundry came. I put yours in your room. This is for Mr. Everett.
Is he in?
No, he went out after lunch. The mixer arrived.
Did it?
Oh, it is now half smashing, all red and white, with ever so many gadgets. Well, I'd better get rid of Mr. Everett's laundry, I suppose.
No, no, I'll put it in his room.
Oh, really? Right,
Ma. Oh, thank you. You can go up now.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. See you tomorrow.
Mr. Everett? Mr. Everett? Oh. Now, I wonder... A deed box. Why, it's open. Oh!
Elsie, what are you doing? That deed box was in the drawer when I left.
Oh, I suppose you've destroyed the receipt.
Receipt? What receipt?
Don't pretend. You know very well. The receipt from Harrington's for the cellulose net. You've gone quite pale, Mr. Everett. It's always something of a shock to be found out, isn't it?
Found out?
Is that all you can say? Not that I want to listen.
No, please.
Kindly let me pass, Mr. Everett.
No.
I asked you to let me pass.
Elsie, please, I must talk to you.
I see no point.
Look, I can guess what you must be thinking. You imagine that...
Imagine? Really? Do you deny that you lied to the police and the coroner about the time you drove up to London?
No.
Or that you obtained a prescription for sleeping tablets when you sleep perfectly well without them.
You obviously know, so how can I deny it?
Or that for weeks you inquired daily about the weather.
That's perfectly true.
And that you purchased 6 yards of loose weave netting and impregnated it with weed killer to make it more inflammable.
That I do deny.
But I saw you with the tin of sodium chloride.
But I didn't purchase it.
Your name was on the receipt for the
net. No, I can...
Don't deny it. I saw it with my own eyes.
Look, I don't blame you for what you're thinking.
That's most kind
of you. If only you'll listen to me, just for a few moments. Look, I'll move away from the door. It's unlocked. You're free to leave whenever you like. But just a few minutes of your time, that's all I ask. Please.
All right.
Thank you. Well, you remember I told you that Nora and I didn't get on very well together?
Yes.
Well, that was something of an understatement. The marriage was a terrible mistake. I'd have left her, but frankly, I couldn't bear the thought of a divorce and all the scandal. And if you ask why she stayed, I can tell you in one word, money.
But I thought she was quite well off.
Well, believe me, when I married her, I wasn't concerned one way or another. But she deliberately lied to me about her income. The fact is, she hadn't a penny. There was little doubt why she married me. You were quite right. On the day of the fire, I was at the cottage for lunch.
Then why did you...
All in good time. After lunch... Nora went across to the hatch to pour out the coffee. There was a mirror facing the table, and as I looked up, I saw her drop some tablets into one of the cups. I imagined it was her saccharin, but as she turned, I realized that my cup was the one with the tablets.
She'd handed you the wrong cup.
So I thought. I suppose I could have said something, but it would only have led to an argument. Nora was never one to admit a mistake.
Then what did you do?
Well, there was no dessert, and she asked me if I'd like some gatto. The walnut cream. I said yes, and while she was cutting it, I swapped the coffee cups.
She didn't notice?
No. She suggested we take our coffee into the lounge. It was rather close in there, I remember. I wanted to get off to my board meeting, but Nora insisted I rested for a few minutes. We both sat there without a word, when suddenly she dropped off. I was very grateful and crept out and left for London. During the drive, I reached for my handkerchief and found a small tube in my pocket.
What tube?
Nora's sleeping tablets.
Mr. Rayton said he supplied them to you?
He did. Nora rowed with everyone, including the local GP. Phenobarbital's on prescription, so I had to pretend they were for me. It was the same with the weather report. She got a sudden mania about her health. If I didn't check, she wouldn't step out of the house.
But what were the sleeping tablets doing in your pocket?
You may well ask. I'd seen them on her dressing table earlier on. It was full. But now, 3 tablets were missing.
What?
I didn't know what to think. Then after the board meeting, I received the message from Sergeant Foster. He didn't mention Nora, but during the drive back, I felt uneasy. It suddenly struck me that Nora
might still have been in the cottage. Understand, I was confused. Supposing those sleeping tablets were meant for me. She drugged my coffee and planted the tablets in my pocket to look as though I'd taken them myself. And the fire wasn't just an accident. I realized that if traces of phenobarbital were found in Nora's stomach, it might prove very embarrassing, to say the least. That's why I lied about the time. Everything was destroyed in the fire except that old deed box. Nora used to keep odd bits of correspondence in it. I didn't look through it until after the inquest. I knew about the sodium chloride, but it wasn't until I found this that I was certain Nora had tried to murder me.
Murder you?
Yes. Look at this.
What is it?
The brief note from Harrington's confirming her order for the cellulose net.
But the receipt was marked out to you, V. Everett.
Her name was Venora. I called her Nora for short.
Venora? But then, why didn't you go to the police?
Well, what purpose would it serve? Another inquest, more questions, reporters? Besides, I'd have had to admit I lied about having lunch at the cottage. And after all, if I could lie about one thing, I could lie about the tablets, the weather reports, and even that order for the net.
Yes.
I'll make no bones about it, Elsie. I was afraid. I don't say I would have been found guilty, but there was always that possibility.
Yes.
There is still, if you go to the police. But that's up to you. I shan't stop you. You're free to leave whenever you like.
Come in.
Oh, yes, Millie. What is it?
Sergeant Foster's on the phone, ma'am. Said you left a message for him.
Oh, yes. Well, look, Millie, apologize for me, would you? Tell him it wasn't frightfully important. I'll call him back later.
Yes, ma'am.
I believe you, Mr. Everett.
Thank you. Thank you.
But I still think you were very foolish to lie to the police, and if you'll take my advice, you'll dispose of that weed killer.
I have.
But keep that note from Harrington's. It proves you're innocent. And if my novel's published, someone may put two and two together.
But surely you're not going to...
Oh, don't worry. I'll change the names. Besides, everyone's bound to say it's far-fetched, but I'm sure it'll sell.
Well, I've no doubt. Well, thank you again, Elsie. And if there's anything I can do for you at any time, you won't hesitate to ask, will you?
Well, just watch over my dailies, that's all. And, oh, there is just one other little thing.
Yes?
Please don't think I insist by any means. I'd hate you to feel that, but my sister's terribly anxious to acquire that little plot next door.
Oh, she can have it.
Oh, no, we'll pay the market price, Mr. Everett.
Please, Elsie, not Mr. Everett.
Oh.
Victor.
Now, Elsie, I need your signature. Here, yes. Here and here.
Yeah. It's terribly exciting, isn't it?
Fine. Now, this can go straight off to the solicitors. And the builders should be able to start early next month.
Oh, I'm so pleased. I can't tell you.
It wasn't easy. Mr. Everett was a hard nut to crack. I had to fight every inch of the way.
Did you?
But finally, I got him down to 200.
How clever of you.
It's a good job one of us has a head for business.
Oh, it certainly is. I have to hand it to you, Sarah. You're the practical one.
That was The Weather for Murder by Philip Levine, in which you heard Maureen Ney as Elsie Pierce and Barbara Cooper as Sarah Pierce. Mr. Rayton was played by Derek Blomfield, Millie by Peggy Butt, Sergeant Foster Julian Summers, Mrs. Clark Vivian Chatterton, Mr. Everett Derek Birch, Mrs. Everett Stella Tanner, Miss Brown Zibber Mays, Coroner John Brining, Mr. Jenkins William Edel, Mr. Potter Lewis Stringer, Connie Angela Piper, and the costumier Donald McKillie.